If that's the worst thing I do for myself, I'm doing pretty good. I don't like it when you whisper. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Welcome. We are back. It is the Baller Lifestyle podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. I am once again your host, Brian Beckner, joining you for episode 131 of the program. As always, I let you know we're doing a special episode today, by the way, but I want you to be able to reach out and react to me once you hear this. And a good way to do that is via email. You can send me an email to mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. You can also send me a voicemail. Voicemail's been quiet lately. You know why? Because I make fun of you guys. Because you talk too long and you try to be too funny. But I still want you to send me voicemails. 949-464-TBLS. See, I forgot the number.
Yeah, it's been a while.
949-464-TBLS. I implore you, this is an interactive show, and one of the ways we interact here is via our Facebook page, The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. Some other douche has The Baller Lifestyle, and he doesn't even do anything with it. So I need to check and see if he's
squatting
still got
on it.
Yeah, he's squatting on my Baller Lifestyle.
Lame.
The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. Check us out there. There's a lot that we had a big cargo shorts argument there the other day. There's a very funny, weird video that I posted on there this weekend. So you want to be on there. You want to be able to interact with us and have a conversation there beyond the one you get on the air. Also, subscribe to the show on iTunes. And then most importantly, Patreon. Patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. That is a place you can go where you can become a patron of what we do here. Like Mozart, you know, Mozart. I'm similar to him.
Very.
He was like 4 years old, and people are like, this little fucker's pretty good on the piano. And so they're like, this guy shouldn't have to go to work. And
didn't he have like the first stage mother? Like his father basically made him do it, right?
Yeah, probably.
I think that's what it
another,
was.
Another guy, Beethoven.
Yeah, like, he was good too.
He was so fucking metal. But the thing is, back then you had to go be a cobbler or a tailor.
You did apprentice first.
Yes, you had to learn a trade.
Sure.
But people wanted these guys. They're like, no, these fucking guys need to just do music. Like, calm down. Well, that's what you can do for me here. You go to patreon.com/theballerlifestyle and patronize the show.
Mm.
Throw me a few bucks every month. You won't even notice it's missing. And I'm entertaining you, and you get me for like a buck a show. Like, who wouldn't want to do that? You don't have to do it, but you should. Patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. You hear his voice. Special episode this week. Ed Daly is out of pocket, and he's summering in Europe, as he is wont to do.
Is he still in Iceland?
He's in England, London, yeah. Hanging out, doing his thing. And so we thought we would, since you're getting a lot less, you're getting like 10 hours less
yeah,
per week
less.
Of this guy.
I got a lot of things to
we
say.
We reached out. We thought, well, we'll try to book this guest. Joining me now, you know him from his ESPN LA show, Kelvin and Travis in the Morning. Is that what it's called? The Kelvin and Travis show?
Something
whatever.
Like that.
Yes. You know him from Travis Rogers Now, formerly on Yahoo Sports Radio. He is a buddy of mine. He is a great dude. We're stoked to have him.
Don't forget about the Rams. Come on, man.
New job. You're just going to be around.
I'm going to do the post game show for the Rams.
Every Sunday. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
good.
Yeah, because you're going to get some real, first of all, a lot of people do this. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and they don't do the mechanics of how to operate a broadcast situation. And a lot of times they don't tell you who the fuck is talking. So I've already said I'm talking. You know me, I'm Brian Beckner. But the other person that we're talking to, in case you don't know, if you know who I am, you should know who this guy is. There's a few people that don't. Of course, I'm talking about Travis Rogers. Welcome, Travis.
Hi, Brian.
So you're the cool thing about doing those post-game shows
yeah.
is you take calls.
I'm sure there will be an element of calls, but there will be less than your typical post-game show, I think, because I have two co-hosts. I have two former NFL players that are going to be sitting and doing the shows with me.
Who are your co-hosts? Tell us about the show.
Eric Davis, former 49er and Carolina Panther.
Super Bowl champion.
Yep. And former Raider, Jacksonville Jaguar, and Buffalo Bill Kirk Morrison.
San Diego State.
Right, San Diego State's finest.
Well, both those guys are good. That sounds like it's going to be a good show.
It'll be good.
It'll be better if you take some callers, because here's what happens.
Fire Mike Socia.
I remember Ross Porter.
Yes.
The amazing Ross Porter.
I used to call Ross.
Yes. He used to do the post-game Dodger talk. Mm-hmm. And he would get, there was like certain guys. Like I remember one guy, I can't remember his name, but he would call up and he swore that the Dodgers' number one problem was, and this is like in the late 90s, is that they traded away Wilton Guerrero. This guy just could not get it. Was
of
such
all the guys to care about.
Yeah, if we still had Wilton Guerrero.
But Wilton Guerrero never went and did anything anywhere else.
No, he was out of the league immediately. Like, he didn't play anymore. But these are the kind of guys that call. They call up and they have lots of deep thoughts, and they think they're a GM of the team. And
yes.
So they're always like, why aren't we starting so-and-so at left tackle instead of whoever's there now? That's the problem. Why don't the coaches see?
Fire the offensive coordinator.
And a lot of people
fire the defensive coordinator. Fire the head coach. Bench the quarterback. Yes, those are the calls.
You used to do a show on the local Angel station.
Yes, yes.
And you talked a lot about the Angels.
Yes, I did.
It was a very Angel-centric.
Yeah, yes, it was.
I mean, the whole station, like, they crack the mics in the morning and they're talking Angels.
They want to talk about the Angels.
And people would occasionally call up and talk about the Angels. And a lot of their issues were like, who was coaching third base?
Yeah.
And
they got a real hard time letting go of Torrey Hunter. They really didn't like that. Apparently, if you have Torrey Hunter on your team, everything else falls into place. You could have no pitching. You could be really bad defensively.
Right.
You could be thin on the bench.
That's right.
But if Torrey Hunter was there, it all clicks together.
Well, Torrey Hunter was like 38 when they let him go.
The truth of the matter is, it might have been the only good decision they made was to get rid of Torrey Hunter. Everything before and after has seemed to be a terrible decision. That was actually the right decision.
Well, it was an especially good decision for me because I would listen, and Torrey Hunter, I think, went to Detroit, and he had a pretty good year that next year.
Yeah, and
people that were Torrey Hunter fans on the Angels were really excited.
Torrey Hunter was a good player.
He was a really good player.
Did you see they released Tim Lincecum this morning?
I saw his ERA was over 9, more than 9.
His whip, which is, I like that whip.
Yes.
Whip's a good one. Walks, hits, innings pitched, was the third highest in the history of baseball.
Wow. Well, small sample size.
It was nearly 2.4. It was like 2.37.
How did they use him as a starter?
Yes. Well, not anymore.
Yeah. But he couldn't have had that many starts. He probably had like five or six starts.
It was about that many.
Yeah.
But he 2.3. That means that he was giving up on average 2.5 hits or walks per inning. It's very hard not to give up runs when you do that.
Yes,
very hard.
Well, the point of the game is to not give up runs, to let the guys get on the little bases.
Right. Well, he was bad at that.
Yes. You don't want to be bad at that.
Yeah.
That just shows you what a premium being able to throw the ball hard over the plate in a specific area consistently is.
It's one of the dumbest things that coaches will tell you. You know, it's about location. It's about movement. No, it's not.
Yeah.
If you don't throw hard, none of the rest of it matters. It's the only thing that gets you into the, it's the minimum buy-in is being able to throw it past somebody.
Right.
Everything else comes after that.
Right. Or you know, occasionally you'll get the Greg Maddoxes of the world
witches. Greg Maddox came into the league throwing 92, 93 miles an hour and then settled in somewhere less than that. But Greg, I'll just be Picasso.
Yes.
I'll just paint like him.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't do that.
Also, Greg Maddox, he had a way. They called him the professor.
Mm-hmm.
He wore glasses. Mm-hmm. He was a smart dude.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely, I remember he got traded to the Dodgers at the end of his career.
Yeah.
And before Greg Maddox came to the Dodgers, when they would warm up the infield before the game, after the pitcher would throw his warm-up tosses, the catcher, Russell Martin, would throw down to second base. And before they got Greg Maddox, and when Greg Maddox wasn't starting, that throw would always go directly to the shortstop and they'd throw the ball back to the pitcher and everything would be fine. But when Greg Maddux would start, for some reason, Russell Martin would always bounce that throw to the second baseman. It's almost like they wanted the seams of the ball to be a little bit rougher when Greg Maddux was on the hill. Yeah, but the point is, this guy, Lincecum, yeah. He was fired. He just couldn't play. But he could play a while before.
Right.
And they thought, well, maybe he can get it back. Let's try him out. And then people watched him. And a whole bunch of teams wanted to get him.
Yeah.
And he signed with the Angels.
He did that thing where guys do where they just go away for a while.
Yeah.
And then they come back surprisingly stronger. Yeah. And whatever was ailing them before seems to be ailing them less.
Yes.
And maybe you go to Europe or another place to get a treatment.
That's right.
To heal.
Blood platelet spinning.
Right. Right. Yes. They do whatever it is that
stem cells.
They do.
Yeah.
They come back and they're usually a little bit better. Joe Blanton, for instance, was maybe the worst major league player I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
And now he's a decent major league pitcher.
He was. They also realized that he could not pitch because he's big and fat, although he's much less fat now.
Well, that's usually a side effect of the treatment.
They had him starting games.
Yeah, that's
and they realized, this guy can't pitch six innings, but maybe he can pitch two.
or one.
Yeah, or one. Yeah, or just a couple batters.
He still sucks.
He's okay. We a big retirement.
Yeah.
This bums me out because he's one of my all-time favorite players and people. He's great. He's the best. Alex Rodriguez retired. I was really, really hoping that he would get released.
Yeah. They basically said, this is what's going to happen. How would you like to handle it?
But if he wanted to continue to play, he could be released, clear waivers, and then any team could sign him for the league minimum, and the Yankees would have to pay the rest of the salary, and he could come, say, to the Dodgers, come off the bench, be that calming leadership influence.
In the
clubhouse.
Yeah.
I felt like this guy had a Jim Thome sort of period. He could have had that at the end of his career, but it didn't work out that
Jim Thome could still hit above 200 at the end of his career. Alex Rodriguez, as it turns out, cannot.
He had a good year last year. Maybe he just needs to take some time off.
He needs blood platelet treatment.
Yes, he needs to go. He needs to go see one of those German doctors and get what healed what it ails him.
He did that thing this morning where he tries to cry but can't. It's one of my favorite things. Alex Rodriguez has so many deals. Yeah. I mean, maybe the most deals of any athlete we've seen in a long time. He's in a variety of ways.
He's got very shiny lips. He always has lip balm on, and he's always licking his lips.
I'm pretty sure he always has makeup on. His complexion is so flawless.
Yes.
That no human being looks like that.
He's very smooth.
Yes.
He's very bronzed.
Yes.
And he looks really good. Like, he's 41 years old.
Oh, he looks great.
Much younger.
He looks great. And I did know this today because during the press conference, they asked him some questions in Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
Which
does he speak Spanish?
He speaks Spanish like a Canadian person speaking. He still has that weird.
Yeah. Cadence.
Weird cadence. Yes. And quasi-Canadian accent, even in his Spanish.
That.
It's
I love
awesome.
That. Yes.
It's really, really
is
awesome.
Is he Dominican? He's Cuban.
He's Dominican.
Yeah. But he grew up in Miami.
Yeah. He's a dual citizen.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was trying so hard to make himself eyes cry.
Yes.
And it was
great.
He was so wonderful. And very heart emotional. New York Yankee Cervelli. He's such a weird guy, and he gives these pregnant pauses that are supposed to translate as emotion, and they translate as he's trying to think of something to say. They don't. It's not one of those. Oh man, you know.
I'm having a moment.
He furrows his brow a little bit. I spoke to Brian Cashman.
I love when he speeds up.
He speeds up, and then he thinks of word meanings, have the most mind respect for Mr. Steinbrenner, and very emotional speaking to Joe. He's the weirdest guy ever.
He has an affliction. He's a narcissist.
Yes.
And narcissists.
All greats do, by the way.
Like most, they've done studies, like most CEOs, most people that are really, really successful.
Find the person at the top of whatever profession it is.
Yep.
Find that person. That person is a weirdo.
Yes.
He's a weirdo.
Weird, weird, weird guys. And this yeah. guy. But let's look at the numbers here. This Alex Rodriguez, he played 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
He hit, I really wish he would have hung around a little bit
Four
longer.
More.
Yeah.
Four more.
696 home runs.
Yeah.
Lifetime 295 batting average.
I would have guessed higher.
Me too.
I would have thought it would be over 300.
Lifetime 380 on base percentage, which you'll take, including a couple, many years where he was well over 400. Mm-hmm. He kind of tailed off the last 5 years of his career. OPS, career OPS.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's just a shade over 900.
You're right. 930 yeah. OPS. Three-time MVP.
How many RBIs?
World Series champion. He had over 2,084 RBI, 547 doubles.
How many steals?
Stolen.
Remember, because he used to be fast. Yeah.
Stolen bases, SB.
I'm going to say 280-something.
More than that. Well, you're pretty good with numbers, yeah. though. 329. Okay. Career stolen bases, 76 caught stealing.
I like to leg steal when I was with the Mariners of the Pacific.
So that's a question we have to ask. This guy is clearly one of the maybe three greatest players of all time.
Oh, sure. Well, maybe not that. He's
top five.
He's the second best player I've ever seen.
Yes, the modern era. But he's definitely, I hate the phrase in the conversation, but he's definitely in the conversation. Yeah. Add in the steroid era or whatnot. Yeah, it's all the same. Yeah, he was a baseball player. And
everyone was doing it.
He was a fucking great one. But now they're going to do that thing where they don't elect him to the Hall of Fame.
They'll wait. He'll go in eventually. They'll all go in eventually. Yeah. But he's the second best I've ever seen. Barry's the only player that I saw that was better. Right. Pujols was real, real good.
Yes.
Trout is in there already.
Still
I think,
a little early for him, but yes.
A-Rod did every. You forget. A-Rod was a much better shortstop than Derek Jeter. It really wasn't even close. And yet he kind of moved over that had he stayed at shortstop, and eventually he would have gone to first or third base anyway, but he probably cut off, what, 5 or 6 or 7 years of being a shortstop?
Yeah,
at least.
Yes, yeah.
And he was as good of a defensive shortstop as you were going to find, and he hit 700 home runs.
It's weird now, and I know you've talked about this before, that you remember that shortstop used to be a 5'7".
Yeah.
It used to be like Davey Concepcion.
Yeah.
Like you needed to be little and agile. And then they realized that, oh no, it's better if you're big and agile. Like
this is one of the dumbest things ever. That if you, I don't care, unless it's gymnastics, which we're getting to see a little bit of lately, unless it's gym, you better be 6'4".
Yes.
No matter what we're going to do, if you're not 6'4", you don't get to play beyond high school. It's everybody's big because everybody's good. Okay, there are not that you can't be 5'8 and be good.
Yes.
You can. But it's there's also a guy that's 6'4 that's just as good, who's bigger and stronger.
Guy.
So we're going to take him
every
time.
It used to be, when the scouts were in charge, it used to be the baseball men.
Right.
I like the look of this guy. This guy looks good in his uniform.
What were they called? They were called, not yard birds. What were they called? Bird dogs.
Yeah, bird dogs.
Bird dogs. I'm a bird dog.
When they were in charge,
bird dog.
If you were tall.
What a terrible thing to be, a bird dog.
That's the worst.
Wouldn't be that.
If you were tall, you played first base,
slacks and fat,
or short or right field,
mm-hmm.
But you needed a little wiry guy to play center so he could run everything down, and you need a little wiry guy to play shortstop so he could hoover up all that shit that got past the pitcher. It turns out you could just get a real big, strong guy to do all of those jobs, and now it's just all big, strong guys.
It makes a lot more sense. Bigger is always better.
It's just weird that all of a sudden when A-Rod and Jeter, and first there was Ripken, of course, but A-Rod and Jeter and Nomar showed up, and all of a sudden, every shortstop in the league was this huge, fucking massive human being.
Right.
When a few years before, they were all these little tiny guys.
Little tiny. Nobody needs to see that.
No.
Nobody needs to see that.
Put the big guys out there. So I hit up my listenership, our combined listenership, for some questions, just to see how, see if they wanted to check in with you.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of like sappy, like sort of touching.
We could skip those.
Here's one from our buddy, Rick Romo.
Ah.
Brian, we really miss Travis. Would you please give him a big, uncomfortable hug from all of us? Thanks, your pal, Rome Show. I will do that. And then Rome Show goes old school and he adds a P.S. Travis had the best show on radio with by far the best weekly segment in radio. Oh, I agree with that.
The first part.
The hashtag Friday Facts. Fact. Much respect to both of you for all the laughs. Could not have enjoyed it more. Thank you sincerely. Well, that's, we appreciate that. And I will definitely give him a big sloppy hug for you, Rick.
Yeah, no, he's a guy that goes way back.
He's a good dude.
One of the first guys that I met when I moved to Houston, and a really good guy. And
yeah,
he's one of those. There were a lot of guys that were good, and I don't do emotional stuff real well.
No.
But the notes were very, very well received.
Yes.
I appreciate them a great deal, and I'm going to respond to all of them at some point or another, but it's still kind of I'm not there yet.
Still too fresh.
I'm not there yet.
Still too fresh.
Plus, I got a lot of Rams on my plate, Brian. A lot of Rams.
I know. Well,
you want to talk about Trumaine Johnson with me?
Who's that?
He's
a receiver.
No.
Oh, hold on. Linebacker.
No.
Nope. Okay. Hold on. Defensive end.
Warmer.
Tackle. Defensive tackle.
No. Corner.
Corner. Oh, yeah. Close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Trumaine Johnson. Is he a rookie?
No. Fifth year in the league.
Oh, good
All
for
pro.
Him. Yeah.
He's good.
What do we need to know about him?
He's number
good.
22.
He runs
he's big.
Backwards.
He's strong. He can cover some guys. He's their franchise
does
guy.
Is he a shutdown corner?
Yeah.
Oh, you need one of those. You
got to have one of those. What else you want to know about the Rams?
I'm a Chargers fan.
So, yeah, you are.
But I might.
We've had some good times at the Chargers games.
I know. I might transition.
To the Rams?
To Rams fandom, but only when they move to Inglewood.
Yeah, that's coming up.
That's not too far.
3 years.
Inglewood is like relatively close.
You're not a Coliseum guy.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go there if need be. Like if the Dead are playing. I saw the Dead there in 93. No, it was before. Ago. It was like 91.
Have you not been back since?
No, I've seen. You know what I saw at the Coliseum one time? The XFL.
Oh, did you go? You went to the XFL? What was our team? The Extreme?
The LA.
It's the Las Vegas Outlaws. The Avengers?
No, that's the Arena League team. LA. It wasn't the
what
Extreme.
What were they?
XFL. You know, people are yelling out right now. LA. XFL.
My favorite part.
It was the Extreme.
Extreme. Right. Well, of course.
Yeah. Because it
makes it more extreme with taking the E off.
Also, the cheerleaders like were part-time porno stars, probably.
Anybody a full-time porno star? Like, you do nothing but porn. That's all I do.
Well, you do porno. You do porno to advertise your
prostitution
business.
Right.
That's the porno part is marketing for your side gig as a high-end call girl.
Call girl. Right? I like that terminology better.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like a guy I used to know could have been like in the marketing department of the XFL because like
he's
calling something extreme without an E is extremely extreme.
It's the most. It's almost like having pictures of yourself taken with a lavender hue and a gun microphone.
Yeah, I mean there are things that you could choose not to. You could say, you know what, this doesn't feel like me.
I don't think this
isn't extreme enough.
I don't think this is the way I want to market myself. I don't want to be lavender, and with all that's going on in the world, I realize that the barrel is a microphone. But at the same time, also, I don't know why I would be pointing it at my mouth. Like the whole thing just doesn't
it's an odd choice.
Strike me.
It's
as
an odd
the
choice.
Thing I would want to do.
Yeah.
I also hit up. Yes, I will be. Go Rams.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a Rams fan. I quit on the Rams around the time they were starting T.J. Rubley at quarterback.
That's old school, right
That was like I was an Everett guy.
Sure.
I was a Anaheim, L.A. Rams.
Dieter Brock.
Yeah. The gold, the yellow and blue. You know, Mike Lansford.
Might go back to white and blue.
I like that too.
Yeah,
they should
the
do
Deacon
a mix.
Jones
they should
era.
Do yeah, all of the above. So yeah, I could be getting because my Chargers.
They're looking a little ragged.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like
Joey Bosa's not coming into camp yet.
I know, and it's just a very like weird. Also, when someone never comes into camp,
struggle.
They always are terrible.
Right?
They never. You have to be there to get good, especially. And I don't want to sound racist here. But especially when you're a white guy playing on the defensive line.
How is that racist?
You.
Well, let me rephrase. How is that accurate?
The cards are stacked against you. When
J.J. Watt's pretty good.
He's an outlier.
Yeah.
I mean, also Joey.
Mark Gastineau, Joe Klecko.
Mark D'Asino is pretty overrated when you look back at it. Because he did a dance.
His daughter had a deal.
Big time. Also, Joey Bosa has he has like a soul patch, but it's moved down to the goatee area. Mm. It's just like a little puby thing. Right on the chin.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Nobody needs that.
I'm not too happy about this. I reached out to people also on Twitter, Trav, and I told them to respond with the hashtag AskTravis.
Okay.
To ask questions. And then like 1% of the people, like a whole bunch of people responded. And like
pretty complicated.
1% of the people did the actual hashtag.
I really don't think that most of them understand that the hashtag is actually a functional tool. It's not just something that you use to hashtag True. It's so it can be searched by that topic. It actually has a function.
So there's,
I don't think anybody understands
There's like a million in my notifications and but most of them were like hey, how tall is Rome?
That's not very interesting. I know, and
it's
all.
Like I'm not gonna ask him that, but a lot of people did.
Why is that interesting? If the answer were 6'4" or 5'5", is there a difference in the way that you perceive what it is he's doing?
I don't know. Like, people really seem to. Well,
people have a deal with short people.
They do. And it's people with agendas.
Yeah.
They like to go on the radio and they like to talk about other people's height. Maybe people that are average height. They'll go on the radio and they'll talk about a person who's average height and they'll make euphemistic comments that make it seem like he's not average height.
Well, average is world average is not the U.S. average.
I actually just heard the U.S. average this week, and I'm right in there.
Like 5'10".
I'm right in there.
But my guess would be like 5'10" is the average.
I'm right in there at the world at the U.S. average height. But then people,
I don't think that's true at all.
People that listen to you, they glom on to that one thing, and it's all they want. They want to email me about it.
I understand. I get the same thing with beer and being fat. It's just the
one joke. I get the joke.
Yeah.
It's just the one joke. And yeah, I mean, no one's going to confuse me with a tall person.
No.
But no one looks at me walking up and goes, wow, look at that little guy. I'm normal height.
Well, I think the second thing you said is probably not true.
You are not helping. There's one I wanted to get here. This is important, Trav. Mm. This is from Chris Reeder in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to know, crispy or soft shell burrito, and is seafood ever appropriate for a burrito filling? Hashtag Ask Travis.
Okay, so let's go with the first part first. A crispy burrito is a chimichanga.
It's a chimichanga.
Right, so that's a different item altogether. I'm going to take that off of the burrito category. That chimichanga, I don't like a chimichanga nearly as much as a tortilla is already fairly decadent to begin with.
Right.
You don't need to fry it.
The answer is no. Burrito should never be fried.
I agree with you there. Mm-hmm. Seafood, that's fine. Whatever your protein of choice in that burrito, if you want to put shrimp or whatever, I'm okay with it. But the difference is when you put your seafood in burrito, your choice of other things in the burrito goes in a very different direction.
Yeah.
You can't put seafood in there with a bunch of like different salsas and cheese and beans. And it's not the right consistency.
It's sort of a different thing. I will do a good fish burrito. If there's a place that specializes in that, I'll do that.
Fish or shrimp, I'm going to do tacos. I'm not going to get a burrito.
I'm sort of saying, you know, I nearly never do a burrito. Unless it's a place
that does burritos
that's known for their burritos. Mm-hmm. If I just go to Mexican food, I pretty much always get tacos, or I get a combo. I get a taco, maybe a chili relleno.
I like an enchilada as that second item.
Maybe an enchilada.
Yeah.
I'll do that as well.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid, but I'm mostly a taco guy. A burrito should never be fried.
Agreed.
I think that's a regional thing, because you don't really see that around here.
No, they're greasy. And one of the nice things about a burrito is that you can eat it on the move.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And if it's fried, you can't really eat it on the move.
I like a carne asada. I don't like too many things in my burrito. I definitely do not want any rice in there. Mm. If you put rice in my burrito, I'm annoyed, because you filled it up with a bunch of shit that gives it a weird texture.
I would not choose rice,
yeah,
but if it's in there, I'm not going to be upset about it. It needs your protein.
Right.
Cilantro and onions,
right.
A salsa, right. And I'm not a cheese in my burrito guy. I don't like that.
I'm not really either. Yeah, I like it
that
simple.
That right there is pretty good. Maybe some beans, too. I don't mind beans.
I like a compact, tightly rolled yes. burrito that I can eat with my hands.
Yes.
Usually carne asada, yeah. But I'm not afraid to do one of the porks
carnitas.
Either. Yeah, get the fuck out of here with that chicken.
No, what's the
I don't
point
want
of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be healthy.
Agreed.
I'm not trying to go lean here.
I like the green sauce too, like a tomatillo. That's right. Not a bad thing.
Are
to
you
dump in
where
there.
Are you on wet? Because I'm out on wet.
It's a different experience.
Yeah.
It's trending to the chimichanga territory, which I like burritos. Burritos are sand food.
Same. I like to be able to dab each individual bite with salsa or hot sauce or whatever.
No sour cream ever.
No.
Yeah.
Never.
Guacamole on occasion.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? San Clemente, California, Pedro's Tacos.
Yeah. No, forget it.
You go in there, you get the carne asada burrito. It comes with a little, it's guacamole, but it's not like, it's like.
It's mashed avocado.
It's like the ghetto guacamole. Yeah. It's like avocado sauce.
Right.
Very delicious. That's a very good.
That's a good one.
Hey guys. I wanted to take a little break here to talk about Herman Marshall Whiskey. You guys know I am so stoked to have Herman Marshall back in the mix here on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Not a week goes by where I don't receive a tweet or an email from someone in the Republic of Texas enjoying Herman Marshall Whiskey. The Baller Lifestyle Podcast loves Herman Marshall. And I remember when Texas's own Tito's Vodka was a niche American vodka, and now anywhere I order a Bloody Mary, it's the first vodka on offer. Herman Marshall is about to be the Tito's of whiskey. You guys know what it's like down there. Those 90 to 100 degree days in Texas, it's a little hot. You may not like it, but your whiskey loves it. Those days in Texas increase the barrel pressure to push whiskey into and out of the charred wood barrels more often, making your glass of Texas bourbon smoother and more flavorful. See for yourself and grab a bottle of their Texas bourbon, rye, single malt, or Temptress next time you're at a local bar, restaurant, or spirits retailer. Herman Marshall, smooth Texas whiskey. This was a common theme, and I feel like it's not confusing to me, but it is to a lot of people. This is from AC in the 715, and this is maybe like five people asked this. Was Sandy a real caller?
Yes.
Asked Travis.
Yeah, no, I really do think that he was a mental patient of some sort.
Yes.
I probably shouldn't laugh at that. It's not a nice thing to laugh at, but... I think that he was. We don't call him mental patients anymore, right? There's probably a more...
developmentally disabled?
Yeah. Some say, yes, he was probably that.
Yes.
And he clearly never listened to the show.
Right.
He had no idea who I was or what we were doing on that show because he wanted to give scores.
Yes.
But hand to God, 100%. Well, let me rephrase. I don't know who he is. If that's a character, I don't know who's doing it.
Right.
But I think he's a real person.
Who could do it? Somebody.
That's exactly right, by the way.
Yeah.
No one is that good of an actor.
No one could do it that well.
Yeah. Every time and never break.
Now, I mean, in your radio career, you have been known to juice a few radio callers.
That's not an uncommon practice in the industry.
Is it?
No, it's not.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's there was a few. Yeah. I'm trying to think if we did a few on my show here and there, but not very often. In previous occupations, we used to put some on every once in a while.
There was a guy who was very controversial on your last radio show that was sort of a real – I mean, it was a guy doing a character, Vinny in Isla Vista.
Oh, Vito.
Vito.
Yeah.
It's funny that people really wanted me to have beef with him.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, this guy's like the poser Brian Beckner, the unfunny Brian Beckner.
That's
I thought he was great. He was hilarious.
No, Vito.
Vito, Vinny, whatever.
Vito may have fallen into the other category.
Yes.
But no, he was not trying. Vito was actually, that's Vito's deal. He wasn't doing a character. That's just Vito, what Vito finds interesting.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, I agree. And then somebody emailed me and I've lost it. But along those lines, somebody needed the background on another favorite caller of yours. Was he real or fake? And what was his deal? People are talking about Ross.
Oh, well, as far as I know, he's dead or incarcerated or something. Yeah. Or his radio dial is broken because the second I left the Angel Station, he never transitioned, ever.
That was a lot of people. And Ross is in a category, and there's another guy, Paul in Huntington Beach. There's a few of these guys that just – I don't.
Paul still shows up every once in a while.
I don't think they listen to the show. They just call up, and they don't really react to anything that's happening. They just call up and say what they want to say.
Yeah, well, yes.
And it doesn't really matter.
That's what Sandy does, though, too.
Yes, he's in that category, too. It's just somebody – it's a weird thing. They're like, I need to get this out. I need – people need to hear what I have to say, and I'm just going to start dialing numbers. I'm just going to mash the keypad with my fist until a radio show picks up. Somebody
picks up.
And I feel like they call, like, maybe some other shows are a little harder to get through on. So they find a show where they could maybe sit on hold for an hour and actually get picked up.
First of all, I don't know if any radio shows are caller driven anymore. I mean, there are almost none.
That's terrible listening. It's awful to listen to.
It's not the best way to do a radio program. But yeah, I Ross disappeared. Ross was super into the other show. And I don't think it was a Travis thing. Well, I think it was a...
He was an Angel fan.
He was very much an Angel fan.
He had deep thoughts on Dino Ebel.
That was one of the things that I never really was super comfortable with the whole idea of Ross in my bushes and things. Yeah. Like, that's less funny. Like, there are some things that are funny to the group that are less funny to the person in the middle. And being stalked by somebody isn't that funny.
Well, there was a time that you were – that someone tweeted you about what your – what kind of wallet you use.
Yeah, that was weird.
And you had your wallet out, and they said the location.
We were at one of the places we go to grab a beer.
And you had your wallet out for like 2 seconds.
It was the amount of time it takes to take it out of your pocket, take a credit card out, put it on the thing, back in.
Yes.
And there was a tweet describing my wallet at the place that we were in that amount of time. That was unusual.
Yeah. To me, I never really, considered the idea of being like a quasi public figure.
Mm-hmm. Neither have I.
Yeah.
Because I'm not kidding you. In 25 years, people have recognized me 10 times in 25 years. It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. Yeah. One time I went on another show in Houston and I did like a bit, and the whole thing was that it was the Seinfeldian mock draft on the Sean and John show.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was that people came on and they got to, it was making fun of drafts. A lot of shows do this, and you just could come on and draft anything you wanted. And the whole
premise, I drafted Tommy Lee's penis.
I remember.
Yeah.
The whole, no, wasn't it Greg Oden's?
But we had two drafts.
Oh, that's right.
I needed a point guard and a big man.
That's right. The whole point they had me on, the whole point was that I was supposed to come on at the end and kind of take shots at everyone that had gone before me.
Uh-huh.
So I did that to great effect, in my opinion, before angering everybody by drafting the Republic of Texas and making it my own rechristening it East Orange County. People did not like that. They thought, they thought I really had done that.
Right.
They thought I had the nerve to take over their place. They're very proud of their place. But then I had made fun of one of the other hosts' calls and people were like so angry. They were effectively threatening my life on Twitter. And I thought, well, this is weird.
Yeah, it's
like,
not fun.
I'm doing a character.
Right.
Like, couldn't you tell what I was doing? I'm there to make fun of people. That's my whole deal.
I would imagine the Venn diagram between people that thought you had really annexed Texas to the people that were offended.
It's a circle. Perfect circle.
Basically a perfect circle, yes. there were the vast majority of people that I knew and got to meet there were wonderful. But there is a certain subsect of those people that are the most humorless.
Yes.
Uninteresting.
It's weird.
Simple.
Yeah, it's weird.
Just unsophisticated. Like, there's a really significant, and they're incredibly vocal in their lack of sophistication and subtlety. That what makes things funny is that they're kind of sort of true, but not really.
It's, yes, of course.
And that, believe it or not, you did not have the authority to annex Texas.
I know. That's crazy.
But they didn't like the idea that you might think
that
you could.
I would ever think that I could ever take their place. That's right. Their place.
Right. There's thankfully the percentage was very low, but there was enough to make it unpleasant.
They value their freedoms.
Yes. When, by the way,
yes,
we're running out of time. Obama's got what? 5 months left in office?
Did you know?
If he's going to come for the guns, shouldn't he have started by now?
Did you know that it's just only been in a period of months that it's been legal to open carry in Texas?
Yeah.
Many, many other states have had open carry for years, yeah, decades even. And yet, yeah, Texas, where you guys value your freedoms,
right,
you only just now can have your guns out?
That's a freedom that they didn't exercise
apparently
until
not
more recently.
Just now, I mean, I guess they're out now that they can openly carry them. It'll be mm-hmm. easier for Obama to go down there and pick them all up, round them all up. Because he's coming for them.
He better get busy. We're running out of time.
He's coming for them. Or now maybe Hillary's going
to
come.
But if they were going to come, they had 8 years to come. They never came.
Yes, I feel like the toothpaste is kind of out of the tube.
I feel like
on that
maybe
one.
That's a concern that's not a real one.
It's kind of like if you wanted to that Donald Trump talks about, he wants to deport every illegal.
That's
alien.
Impractical.
It's impossible.
Of course
done.
It is.
It's impossible to do. You could never identify him. You could just think of what the bus concession would be to get him to the border.
I like the fact that a major political candidate is using the word roundup.
Yes,
people.
That's pretty good.
That's good. Exciting.
Yes. Camps.
We're going to start rounding them up. Like, that's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yes.
Because when they're done rounding up them, who are they going to round up next?
That's right.
They rarely stop after they round up the first group. They'll usually go to a second and a third. Really, they're going to round up everyone.
They came
eventually.
For my neighbor and I did nothing.
Right.
Yeah, they're not. I don't think they're going to be able to come for your guns because there's more guns than people. So it seems impractical that they'd even be able to find them.
Or carry them.
Yes.
The guns are heavy.
Yeah, they'd need a lot of trucks. Franz Abropatar asks, this is sort of like an F, Mary, kill. Which has more bacteria per square foot? A Las Vegas pool, the water in Rio at the Olympic Games, or your son Bobby's bedroom?
Well, he is 15, but I don't know if there's a lot of bacteria per se.
Right.
So I'd say that's the least amount of bacteria infested
that's,
area.
That's the Mary in this scenario. I'll take my chances with Bobby's room.
Right. What were the other two? A Vegas pool and the Guanabara Bay?
Yes, that's right.
Well, Guanabara Bay is literally a giant toilet.
Yeah.
And it's got...
No, it has actual shit in the actual water.
And bodies and carcasses of dead animals and medical waste, which might be the most terrifying of all the waste.
It is the most terrifying waste, but also third world medical waste.
right. Yeah, I don't feel like it. I don't think it's a bunch of those Sharps containers floating in
the
water.
No.
It's probably loose.
They pull the catheter out and they're like, sorry, Rico, and they just toss it in the river.
So I'm going to have to go, number two would be the Vegas pool scenario, which I'm not really that excited to experience, but that water in Rio, the idea of, look, another person's shit is probably the grossest thing on the face of the earth.
Number one grossest kind of shit, human.
Yes. And so if I'm going for a dip, I'd really rather not. Really rather not.
Well, the thing is that those Vegas pools are like heavily chemically treated. So
it's going to peel your skin off from the chlorine.
Yes, there is some level of shit in the water.
Some, but it's more DNA than bacteria that I'm worried about.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because one time, it's been a very long time since I've been to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And it's not my place. I just don't. I don't mind spending money, but I want the illusion that I'm getting something for my money.
Yeah.
And when you go to Vegas, they just hook the vacuum up to your wallet and they just go, fuck you, and suck it out. You know? Yeah, this drink's $25. Yeah. Go to hell.
No,
you know?
That's lame. I'm not a gambler, so
Same.
I don't lose money gambling in Vegas, but it's about the most expensive place you can go right now.
It really is. And it's a bummer because there's really good food. There's a lot of really good restaurants in Vegas, and there's good entertainment and there's stuff to do. And I don't, you know, I do the pool scene. I get out there, I have a couple
of like
beers.
I like Vegas. I really do, but this may come as a surprise to you. Yeah. I like to have a drink.
Yeah.
And drinks in Vegas, if I sit down at a bar with my lovely wife and we get a couple of martinis, that's $50.
Yes.
And that's,
it's crazy.
That's really stupid.
It's crazy.
That's really stupid.
Especially because they're raping everyone at the tables.
Right. Well, Vegas, not that long ago, used to be a place you could go, and if you didn't gamble, you didn't spend any money.
Right.
You'd spend money on your hotel and maybe a meal here or there, but the booze would flow.
We used to do that thing when we would go there in our early 20s, where you'd walk up to the bar and you'd say, give them a $10 bill and say, give me a roll of quarters and whatever, a Jack and Coke.
Right.
Cause then we'd give it to you for free. And then you just take the roll of quarters back over to the cage and they give you your $10 back. I don't think you could do that anymore. What I was going to say is I was in Vegas I was in Vegas maybe like 15 years ago and we were at the pool at the Hard Rock at the pool club. Rehab. And I was standing there drinking a beer and I recognized someone in the pool that I had seen in a porno.
Mm, male or female?
Male.
Oh,
and
God.
I said, and I was looking and I'm like, I was kind of buzzed and I'm looking and I'm like sizing. Oh, that's a wrong term. I was just like kind of making sure before I said anything. And there was like five of us standing there, just kind of like quiet, sipping our drinks. And I said, hey, is that? And the guy standing next to me was like, yep.
That's uncomfortable.
Yes. And it really made me not. And the guy was standing like waist deep in the water. He was just, everything that you didn't want to see submerged was submerged. Was not.
That is a really dark industry.
Very,
I really,
and yet necessary.
Yeah, I really like. I want to. There needs to be and Boogie Nights, whatever.
Yeah,
good movie. But I want to know how you get there, because you hear them talk, and it's like, well, no, I decided to try it, and it's like, no, something like I need, especially the path of the man. Like, how do you wind up in that world?
There is I don't know the man story, but there's a documentary. It's on Netflix, and I would not suggest watching it because it is. Very, very sad.
Is it? That's, I think it's really, it's not like It's a Wonderful Life and everything works out wonderful. There's dark parts of that, is there?
I think it's called like Hot Girls Wanted or something. Something along those lines. It's because the name of the movie is the title of the Craigslist ad that some guy in an apartment in Florida uses. He places these Craigslist ads all over the country.
Little ads in a newspaper.
That's right.
That guy. Yes. Don LaPree.
Don LaPree. Is he in prison?
I think he's dead.
Oh, he's dead?
I think so.
Who's the other one? Natural Cures. He's in prison. He keeps going back to prison. Kevin. I think he's Canadian.
How about the Chinese guy that was on the boat with the models?
Don Yee?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Something like that.
I have yacht. I have yacht. You want yacht like me? What was I saying? Porno.
Yeah.
It's, what's her name? Rashida Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Fan.
Yeah.
She made this, she's not in it. She directed this documentary about like getting into the porn. And it's basically some guy, an agent, in an apartment in Florida. And this is how you get started. And he makes these ads. And then you respond to these ads and he sends you a ticket to Plano, Texas, or wherever you live, and flies you out to Florida, where he's got all these girls bunked in his apartment.
Like an army barrack?
Yes. And he'll have like at any moment, because turns out
I don't want to see this movie.
He cycles through them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then he books you work and he'll drive you around to the work until it crushes your soul and you fly back to Plano, Texas with your $800 in your pocket. And then he brings in another girl from Ames, Iowa and does the same thing with her. So that's how you get into it. Craigslist ads.
I don't like that.
Craigslist. Yeah. It's very, you don't want to peer behind the curtain.
No,
you know,
no.
Great and Powerful Oz is only a man.
Right.
You want to picture
about something else
being something very glamorous.
It's not glamorous.
I don't know. This is where still people really want a look behind the curtain at the callers. This is from Statsman 2886. For that matter, was Dean in Hawaii a real caller? Was that the guy that was drunk?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I'm trying to think.
I sort of recall him.
Vito is the only caller that we use who I know has a alternate identity.
Yeah.
The rest of them, and, right. and I'm trying to think. I don't want to say it for sure because maybe I'm forgetting somebody.
Yeah.
But Vito's the only one that was, look, Vito's a friend of mine.
Yes.
And he calls and he doesn't want to get in trouble at work. Yeah. So he uses a gnome de plume.
Right. That's right.
So, but yeah, the rest of them are all real. Now, they may be doing a character, but it's, I'm not in on the joke.
I vaguely remember Dean in Hawaii. And
he was super hammered.
He was just a drunk dude in Hawaii. Yeah. I think he worked the night shift or something. So he would get off work.
Super slurry.
Hammered in the morning. Yeah. And call, or maybe I just assumed he worked the night shift.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what else. Emails. Oh, this is interesting. It's weird the things that people remember or commit to memory.
That's by the way, there are a handful of people that have a much more comprehensive institutional knowledge of my show than I do.
Yes.
It's not even close.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And thank good, because they'll remind me, though, yeah, that was kind of fun.
Right. I was in Chicago last weekend, and I had a hang with listener Joe and Bugaha.
Oh, yeah. I met him in Omaha.
And Joe and Bugaha was talking about a famous caller to your previous show, Carl and Rosemead.
Uh-huh.
And he pointed out that there was another Marty in Dallas.
Uh-huh. I remember
Marty. Also could have been a not real person, maybe sounded like somebody else that worked on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, how do these people do that? Like, because it goes into my brain and out of it. In that moment.
Yes.
But this guy's got a moment. Traj. On February 25th, 2008.
Oh my God.
On a national radio show, you went ballistic on the callers. A representative statement was, quote, "How are you using this show? You don't even understand."
That's a good line.
"As the offers poured in from NPR and the New York Times review of books, you took the road less traveled and discovered Brian Beckner. You are a stud. Seriously. Sorry, that wasn't a question." That's from Andy in Denver. I don't know what he was getting at. I just love that he remembered that moment.
That's a funny line. I should have said really that funny. More. If I would have said that more, maybe I'd still have a show.
One year when I used to listen to that show when you were on it, one of your last lines. Speaking of Vegas, we unfortunately lost Entertainer of the Year many years running. This is probably about, well, like 8 years ago. Danny Gans.
Oh yeah,
and he had a lot of billboards in Vegas.
Yeah, on those cabs.
This guy made a lot of money. Uh-huh. He was very rich just being in Vegas. But he also may have had some deals, and he passed away. And he passed away just like the day after another famous person had passed away. And somebody had sent an email, and the host refused to read it. And he's like, "I'm not reading this. Hey, you want it? Somebody wants to read T-Raj, you get in here. You can read this if you want." And you're like, "Okay." And he walked in, and the email was, "For my next impression, I will be doing B. Arthur,"
yeah.
"Signed Danny Gans."
Yeah, B. Arthur had died on like a Wednesday, and Danny Gans died on a Thursday.
So great.
And I don't think it was a tweet or email or whatever came in on a Friday. So it was, the timing was perhaps insensitive, but that was a pretty good joke.
So good.
It was a pretty good joke.
It was in bad taste. But
that's why it's a good joke.
That's why it was funny.
Yeah.
You're not laughing at the actual joke because while it's a funny joke,
it's obvious.
It's an obvious joke.
Yes.
But sometimes it's funny because it's obvious.
Right.
And it's because someone will steep
right.
to those depths.
Oh,
they'll get yes. in the Guanabara Bay
yes.
for a joke and they'll go for it. And that's funny.
Poor Danny Gans.
Yeah. He had it all. I mean, I think he had a cup of coffee with the Dodgers. Not a cup. He got drafted.
Yeah, he was an athlete.
Blew out his knee
yeah.
and then thought, "I'll start doing Joan Rivers impressions on stage." And it turns out
he was better at that.
If you do, it's very, very lucrative. People don't realize this. You want to be a big star. People want to go to LA. They want
to
get
go to Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. This Carrot Top, you make fun of Carrot Top. This guy makes $100 million a year. This guy makes more than Tom Cruise.
He doesn't really make money like that, does he?
It's something like that. Or he might have like $100 million
net
contract.
Worth. Yeah.
He makes a lot of money. And all those guys do.
Carrot Top is one of those guys. And I'm not going to lie. I've seen his shows on TV and seen him do like, you know, Tonight Show and things like that.
He's a prop comic.
It's one of those things like I get angry. It's so unfunny.
Yes.
It's you watch it and you're, look, I'm not, yeah. he wins the game.
Totally.
But you watch it. You're like, no, I don't.
Yes.
No, I refuse to participate in this. This is not funny.
But there's a lot of that. That's most very successful people are middle of the road.
Yeah. It wasn't good.
Entertainers.
You mentioned Joan Rivers a minute ago.
Yeah. How's she doing?
She's not, well, she's doing her Danny Gans impression. that's terrible.
That's awful.
I understand, like, she's a legend, female comic way before her time. And I was like, I don't think I ever heard her say anything funny.
Yeah.
I don't think
Yeah.
That's not funny.
Well, she was.
Her husband was so terrified to have intercourse. That's not funny.
Yes.
You're disgusting. That's why he didn't want to.
Yeah.
There's not a joke in how disgusting and repellent you were to your husband.
I will say this about her. She came up as a woman when it was practically impossible to do that. It was a man's game, and she took on the men. And she wasn't afraid. It may not have been your cup of tea, but she wasn't afraid to say things about people that were true.
Yeah.
And people that could have hurt her career, she would call out. And maybe it wasn't always didn't always work, but she went for it. And that's the problem with comedy and entertainment is people don't go for it. People aren't trying to attack what's out there. They're trying to be safe because that's the safe path. Okay, here's another one. This is from Pete Shalitsky.
Yeah.
Pete Shalitsky likes me because I can pronounce his name.
It's like Pete Malt Liquor Schlitz.
Yeah. Pete Shalitsky. Missing your show, Travis, made the day that much more tolerable at work.
Thank you, Pete.
Now, on to the questions. This is a three-parter, huh, Pete? He's pretty ballsy.
Rule number one at ESPN interviewing, that you have to do a two-day class to learn how to do this, for real.
Oh, really?
For real.
Don't do three-parters.
Yeah. Don't do two-parters.
Yes.
Open-ended. It's called a double-barreled question, and it is a number one no-no.
Because you can never remember what both the questions are.
It's funny, like, they'll put up all these videos. Yeah. About 98% of the time, you will get an answer to neither question, and if you get any answer at all, it's only to one of the two.
Right. Yes. It's like a politician. They just say what they want to say.
Yes.
What you ask, notwithstanding. Okay.
Three-parter.
Number one. The only good thing about the Summer Olympics is women's beach volleyball.
Well, that's not true.
Does the USA have any up-and-coming talent? I believe they sent the last two broads out to pasture. That's not true either. That brunette was kind of my thing. I believe he's talking about
Misty May,
Newport Beach resident.
Dirtbag.
And dirtbag at the same time as me.
Oh, was she really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Misty May. Now Misty May Trainer.
Yeah. Matt Trainer.
Matt Trainer's wife. I believe they hang out in the South Bay now, but she's from Newport Beach. She's okay.
Yeah.
She's not unattractive.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you're with a Olympic athlete, a volleyball player, a gymnast, you kind of have to like pretend I'm hot. There's never one that's like exceptionally beautiful.
Not often. I will say this. I was watching a little women's beach volleyball yesterday. Right. The Spanish are interesting.
Really?
Yes.
The Spanish have a team.
The Spanish had a team, and the two Spanish competitors were
not too bad.
Not too bad.
How about you always expect the Brazilian team is usually one of the top three teams.
The Brazilians are not my deal.
Yeah, they look like they could be in the WNBA.
The Brazilians are not my deal. I prefer a different flavor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
That's not my, they're
well, only, the problem it, is what you like isn't conducive to athletic greatness.
True.
But you need to be more streamlined.
Yes,
to
it's
be
a
an
little
athlete.
More live to yes, be an athlete. Which, but I, the Brazilians, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. They're a little masculine for my taste. They have men faces. This like is, their faces yes, are made you know, like a man's
we
face.
Get it. Like Caster Semenya.
Not quite that much. Oh, that's too much.
Okay. Here's another one. Continuing, Pete. Two. This is for Travis. Regarding a guy you used to know, Mike Herzing. Did he ever ask you if you were a Chevy or Jeep guy? Did you ever take a ride up the coast in a Wrangler?
No, I've never had the pleasure of actually meeting my guy, Mike
Travis,
Herzing.
Travis. Thanks, guys. Travis, the segment was sponsored by Jeep.
Yeah.
Mike Herzing never spoke about Jeeps.
Was he?
He just never listened to it. This is from our friends at Jeep. And then he'd be like, keep some air in your tires.
It's good advice.
Change the oil.
Also good advice.
Got a lot of run out of that. Yeah. If only they could have transferred that sponsorship to the Friday Facts segment.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not speaking out of school. that segment became a part of the show. People knew it was coming and they wanted to see how it would be introduced. Yes. And that the people were reacting to Mike Herzing. Yes. There's not a better thing for your client than for them to become a regular part of the show, which that did. Nobody understood that.
I know.
And
it's great.
That thing was a part of the show for several months and it was sticky.
Yeah.
And nobody capitalized.
It was, you know, the guys at Jeep love that. They love that it was getting discussed.
Of course.
And you could have found more ways to do that throughout the show if you had a few more Jeeps, maybe a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Budweiser.
Agreed. Missed opportunity.
McDonald's. And then number three, Pete says, please refer to my Twitter question on porn production companies. Well, you couldn't put that in the email? Because now I'm not going to be able to find that, Pete.
We already talked about porno.
Yeah,
Let's move on.
We did a little too much pino.
Yeah.
Porno. Hashtag thanks, guys. Pete Schlitz Malt Liquor. Thanks for reaching out. Pete. Okay.
Thanks, Pete.
One more. We can close with this. Because this was a running theme throughout the Ask Travis portion of my reach out.
Uh-huh.
And this is from Chris in Maryland. He's a fantastic caller.
Yeah.
Or
Tweeter. Participant.
Big participant in the Baller Lifestyle podcast. But he has an issue, and a lot of people seem to have the same issue.
With me?
Well, sort of. Not with you. Hi, Travis and Brian. Is it possible that the demise of your radio show was the result of you reading too many emails from Memphis? Yours, Chris in Maryland.
All right. Look, I understand that guy was not the most popular guy amongst all of you.
Why?
I don't know. I guess I do know.
Yeah.
The volume was extreme.
Yes.
The volume.
It was a lot of the same, but lot of the same thing.
There's like three or four jokes that were used a lot.
Yeah.
But. Very loyal.
Yes.
And incredibly supportive of the show. Therefore, as far as I'm concerned,
yes,
we're good.
I don't, you know, on my podcast.
I'm not going to tell the rest of these guys what to like and what not to like. That I'll let them make up their mind, but I'm good.
On my podcast, co-host Ed Daly has had an issue with maybe one.
From Memphis?
No, not him. But he does reach out. But
where's he from? Who? The person that Ed has an issue
He's
with.
He's from Houston. And he's like, what is up with this? The guy did something that annoyed Ed Daly very badly. Because on Facebook, we just friend everybody. And I don't want to get back into this, but it was an issue. And this person referenced a civilian in Ed Daly's life and used it for a joke, and Ed Daly did not like that. He did not take kindly to that, and I don't. And it was, I think that the person would admit that it was a mistake and probably regrets it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you try a little too hard. Sometimes they just land, you know?
It happens.
You got to go for it, and sometimes it doesn't work out. And it's past, but my thinking is that, that sucked, but I need 50,000 more of that guy.
Right, of course.
I will take the good with the bad. Like this guy is into the show. He fucking pays attention. He listens right when it comes out. He tells his friends. He promotes it. He made an unfortunate joke, which I'm sure he regrets and has apologized for. I need him to find 50,000 people exactly like him.
I'd rather they care too much than not care enough.
That's right. And I will put someone from Memphis in that category as well.
Yes.
Reach out, send me your emails, show up at the studio.
What makes it fun also is when they turn on each other.
That's great.
That's kind of fun. Okay.
That's the other thing I was going to say. Like I don't know how they get annoyed at someone else that's sending tweets to you. Cause it's not like you read every one of them.
No, I don't. But I would read enough that maybe they'd get a sampling of what was going on. And you know, depending on which application you use to use Twitter, you can set up a category with my handle and you can see
but
everything.
Nobody's doing that. You think they are?
I don't think a lot of people are, but I think some people are because people will respond to things that I don't favorite, that they will circle back to them.
Well, I always assume that's because they all follow each other.
Could be.
Yeah. But I don't think anybody's following him.
But if you put a tweet in that's sent to me And I don't know. I shouldn't talk about this. I don't know it well enough. But I think there is a way to
click on your handle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I understand. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. That was a nice tight hour.
Was it really?
Of podcasting. Yeah. Yeah.
That went fast.
Some of these guys, and I listen, but I don't know. It's very outrageous of them to think that I would listen. But like some of the most popular podcasts on the internet, the Joe Rogan Experience, probably my favorite podcast.
Yeah.
They're 3 hours plus.
Every day?
Twice a week.
Wow.
More than 3 hours.
Just no break, just power through.
Just talking. Yeah. Guys will get up and they just open the mics, talk for 3 hours, close the mics. And in the middle, the guests will have to get up and take a piss.
I haven't had to take a piss yet.
Yeah. I'm fine. They'll go. And I just don't feel like I have the kind of gravitas that I can ask for 3 hours of time. So if we do, occasionally we'll do one 3 hours and I'll break it up into two so I can get.
I don't think I'd have 3 hours of things to say.
You do.
I don't know.
You can talk.
Commercials were pretty good. You get, an hour worth of radio is like 40 minutes worth of content.
They say a minute on the internet is worth an hour of TV or other.
I don't understand.
So like getting someone to watch a 1 minute video
on
the internet is the equivalent of them sitting down and watching an entire episode of The Wire. It's that kind of commitment.
I don't know if I've ever watched a video on the internet.
Yeah.
Other than one that I specifically wanted
to see. If it doesn't load in 2 seconds, if I get a pre-roll, I immediately close it every time. And that's what they say. That's what they say. It's much more difficult to get people to engage with you because there's so much happening. There's another tweet that they've been meaning to read, another Facebook post, all that. They don't want to sit down and commit to watching videos.
I learned some.
I mean, sometimes I commit to watching certain videos.
It depends on what sort of mood you're in.
Usually I'm alone.
Not always. I don't like it when you whisper. It makes me very uncomfortable.
This is me getting personal with audience.
This is, hey, you will do this in real life. Like we'll be playing golf and you'll lean over and you'll whisper something
to me.
True? I'm like, I don't want to be whispered
to. Is that true?
Yes.
Have I done that?
Yeah, stop doing that.
We had a nice golf round on.
That was fun.
Now you're a 10 handicap. So what'd you
shoot? Well, no, that's not true.
What'd you shoot? You're about a 10.
I don't have a handicap.
Might be
so
a 12.
Therefore, the best thing I could do is try to guess at what I might be if I had to. I think I'm about a 10. I've been playing poorly lately, though.
Yes.
So I'd say closer to 12.
Sure. You have a hard time on the greens.
Yeah, I'm not a very good putter.
You're able to get it out there in the middle.
I hit it straight.
You're not especially long, but you hit it right down the middle pretty much every time.
I hit it straight.
Play a nice little draw shot. Chip it up nice and easy. Yeah. Just you got a nice smooth. You know what Travis does? He doesn't grip the club. He just barely holds
just tight enough so it doesn't fly out of your hand.
And he has a perfect textbook swing. He doesn't take a practice swing. He just walks right up to the ball.
Those are all Steve Elkington tips that he showed me.
Addresses the ball and he just takes a rip at it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Go straight.
Just tight enough so it doesn't fly out of your hand.
Yeah.
That's the grip.
It works. That's what Tom Watson says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, I really appreciate it, Travis. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
I want to do a podcast.
Yeah, you should do
I
one.
Should do. I'm
yes.
thinking about it.
Yeah, you do. I'll be a guest
seems
on
like,
yours.
Seems like a lot of work.
You should. It is and it isn't.
Yeah. Look Depends at all this equipment. On, I don't you, have any equipment.
You used to do a podcast. You can just do it. I can show you what to do.
All right.
You could just do it with one mic.
Yeah.
But you're, a little, you're, while you and I are the same generation.
Uh-huh.
It feels like we're a different generation.
Oh, I'm fine.
I'm very much in the millennial range, and you are like Mad Men era.
Oh,
like,
God, I would have dominated back
just,
then.
You know.
I would. I, this is.
Bring
I'm
me a
the
martini.
Wrong.
Like, let my secretary set up the podcast. Like, I don't come in here and take podcast.
I was out having beers with Malik Thomas, a friend of mine from Houston, and we were sitting around and having some beers, and I forget what sparked the conversation. There was something like Mad Men was on, and I said something along, like, God, man, I would have dominated back then. He goes, yeah, you would have.
Right.
Like, this is a better place for the rest of us.
Yes, yeah.
Like,
well,
I didn't think of it like that. Yes. I didn't think of it quite like that.
That's a great point. It's weird, and that's an OJ documentary thing. You just This is advice that everyone could take. You need to try to observe the world from other people's perspective.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that was such an awakening to me. Because I consider myself somebody, I'm a very open-minded person. Mm-hmm. I don't prejudge people. I'm just, that's who I feel like I am. And when you watch that movie, it's a brilliant documentary, maybe the best documentary I've ever seen. And you watch it and you realize that everything you thought about something, you were completely wrong about.
Yeah.
The whole perspective that you were looking, the lens that you were looking at a situation through, a very well-known situation, a famous thing, you were looking at it and the way you saw it was 180 degrees completely. Notice I didn't say 360.
Yeah.
180 degrees different.
360s, you're in the same spot.
Than what it actually was. It's crazy. And we would all, and it made me sort of take pause and go, hey, hold on. What other situations am I seeing through this lens where I consider myself getting the whole picture,
yes,
but I really only see it through my lens.
It's funny. I was driving home yesterday from the Rams thing and I was flipping around on the radio and I was listening to my friend Mo Kelly's show on KFI.
Yeah.
And he had George Wallace, the comedian, on.
Right.
And
great Twitter follow, George Wallace.
Is he? I don't follow him.
He's fantastic.
I haven't.
Steve Wallace's brother.
Didn't know that.
The original left tackle, the Blind Side.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So George Wallace said something on Mo's show yesterday that talking about what you're talking about, that it intellectually I've started to understand it because of everything that's been going on in the last year or so. He said he has never in his life seen a police officer and not been scared.
Yes.
That every time just driving by him on the road, seeing him, that every time he's ever seen a police officer, he's been scared.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm not doing anything. I see him and I.
Yeah.
Unbelievably different experience. When I see a cop, I don't think anything other than, oh, it's a cop.
And Mo Kelly is not the thuggish type. He's the opposite of that.
Yeah.
He's a regular dude. He was not the kind of guy that would be doing anything wrong.
No.
But because of his experience being black in America, it's completely different than what you and I have.
I have never had a negative interaction with the police other than being issued a ticket. Oh, and that's because I did something wrong. Well, you lead a little bit of a different type of lifestyle than I do.
When I was younger, I got up to some business. I'm pretty chill now, though.
Yeah, you're better.
Yeah.
You went to reform school or something.
I mean, let's not. See, what happens is you let out these little, that's not true, by the way, but you let out. These little details seep out, and then people want to know more. They want to get behind.
This is what makes me a professional broadcaster.
Right.
I give you a little bit to keep it coming back.
Well, so then now I'm going to get emails. So. All right. I appreciate it. Everybody, that was Travis Rogers.
Thanks,
check
Brian.
Out his show, ESPNLA.com.
Yep.
Check him out on the Rams coverage on the radio.
Yeah.
Big, big move for Travis doing post-game for the Rams this season. I might become a Rams fan just because I'm such a big Travis Rogers fan. Follow him on Twitter, at Travis Rogers, Rogers like Dodgers. That's it. This has been the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com for special guest Travis Rogers. I'm Brian Beckner. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.